Hello, welcome to the Positive Posting Conversation, the show about how to have a better relationship with your dog and cat. I'm Zazie Todd, author of the books Wag and Purr and creator of Companion Animal Psychology Blog. My co-host Christy Benson is a dog trainer and anthropologist, and she also works for the Academy for Dog Trainers. We don't give advice on your pet, so if you have concerns, see your veterinarian, dog trainer or cat behaviourist as appropriate. Thanks for joining us today. We chat with dog trainer and author Victoria Shade about her books, The Puppy Bowl, and writing about dogs. You can enter to win an advanced reader copy of her latest book, Unleashed Holiday, out on September 26th if you're in the US, and we chat about the books we're reading. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Positive Post in Conversation. I'm Zazie Todd. I'm here, as always, with my friend and co-host, Christy Benson. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
And as well, today we have an amazing guest. We're joined by Victoria Shade. Victoria is a dog trainer and writer who has worked as the lead animal wrangler for Animal Planet's Puppy Bowl. She's appeared on the TV show Faithful Friends, and she's written a couple of dog training books, Bonding with Your Dog and Secrets of a Dog Trainer. Her works of fiction include Life on the Leash, Who Rescued Who, Lost, Found and Forever, and Dog Friendly, which is the most recent, which I am halfway through right now, actually, which is wonderful. I'm really enjoying it. And her next book, Unleashed Holiday, will be published in September 23, and it features adorable pups and a holiday romance. And we're going to have a competition to win an advanced reader copy of it, so details of that will come later in the show. Welcome, Victoria. Thank you for joining us today.
It is such an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming. And I'm going to start with the Puppy Bowl, if that's okay, because your background is in dog training and you've been involved in the Puppy Bowl for some time. But what exactly is the Puppy Bowl? Because it sounds really cute, but to be honest, I'm not entirely sure. And what is your role in it?
Wait a second. The record scratch. Okay. So Puppy Bowl is a phenomenon that hasn't reached you, but I highly recommend that you search it out. So Puppy Bowl is an annual show on Animal Planet that is basically counter-programming on Super Bowl Sunday. So if you don't feel like watching all those meatheads running around on the field, you can watch adorable puppies pretending to play football on a scaled-down little field, and it's just the cutest thing you've ever seen. This is my 18th year working on the show. It's the 20th show, my 18th. I am the OG-est OG, I think, on the set. And yeah, it's just basically edited footage, which is people don't realize that it's not live, but it's edited footage of two teams, Fluff versus Ruff, coming together on the gridiron to duke it out to see who wins the Lombardi Trophy.
Sounds very, very cute. And is there a halftime show for this as well?
There is. So for years, it's the Kitten Halftime Show. And for, 17 years, I think, it fell within my scope of responsibility of working on the show. So even though I'm primarily a dog and puppy person, I do have some cat skills. So I would have to, they just spring it on me and say, hey, Victoria, let's get that kitten to play piano. And I have to make it happen somehow. So yeah, that was a part of it. These past 2 years, we have a different production company doing it, which I'm so sad to see the Kitten Halftime Show going somewhere else. But we still have cats on set.
Very cool.
This is amazing. I know before we, when Zazie and I were sort of just getting ready yesterday for this recording, we were both like, let's ask her about the Puppy Bowl. Do you know what the Puppy Bowl is? And now I'm like, how did I not know about this? How have I not? Okay, I don't actually know anything about football, so some of it may pass over my head, but...
I promise you it will not. I mean, there's some play-by-play stuff, but just as, students of puppy body language, I think it's fascinating because there's just volumes of things happening on the field that I think the average pet parent might not pick up on, but that's part of what I do on the show is I am ensuring puppy happiness and safety the entire time they're there. So, that's part of the reason why it's not live is because if something's happening, like if a puppy's overwhelmed or we have like unmatched play going on, I can leap out onto the field and pull a pup. But that's part of the beauty of the show too, is you can see the puppies coming out. Well, I can. I don't think the viewers can because it's edited, but I can see puppies that are shy and nervous watching from the sidelines and going, well, okay, that looks kind of fun. And then they venture out and then they become the star of the game. So it's just the best. We film in October. So I'm heading back to the show the first week of October.
That's amazing. It's just like my mind is like, I'd love to even see like the outtakes of you like being like, oh, this puppy looks, you know, and I think it would be useful to show people that too. Oh, that's just so cool. Definitely going to try and find that.
It's on. If you look on YouTube, you can find past seasons and they'll do highlight reels and that sort of thing, just so you can get a basic idea. Highly excellent.
So I'll find one and I'll include a link in the show notes and me and Christy will have a good look and enjoy looking at that too.
So one of the things that we did want to ask you about, Zazie and I both love books, as you are aware, and Zazie is a best-selling author, and I read. So we're very curious about how you made the move to fiction, because you write nonfiction as well. I saw you have some dog training books, and but how did you sort of make that move? Was that like, you know, what was happening in your life? What led to that?
So my first book, Bonding with Your Dog, was one of those books that I was compelled to write. I absolutely had to. I had this idea of, you know, challenges with my dog training clients went beyond like what the pet parent was doing and how the dog was responding. And I kind of tracked it to the fact that something was broken in the relationship and it was beyond just training. So that's where the bonding book came from. You know, it's tips of how to strengthen your bond and how, you know, ways we accidentally undermine our bond. And by the way, I'm seeing little things that I wrote. This book is like 13 years old, like the pet test. I'm like, oh, I wrote about that a long, long time ago. And now it's like in popular culture everywhere, like, you know, see if your dog is truly enjoying physical contact. I'm like, I did that a long time ago. Anyway, as I was writing Bonding, I did little vignettes, like stories that illustrated the points I was trying to make. And I realized that I really enjoyed that part of it as opposed to the nuts and bolts of the how-to, because that is so exacting. Like, you have to be able to present it in a way that the person reading it can put it into play. Whereas the fun little stories, I'm like, oh, yay, I get to, you know, tell a story. So it started to make sense to me that maybe there was fiction in my future. And then combine that with being a private dog trainer in the DC area, going into people's homes, like all walks of life, from, you know, presidential great grandsons to people who had to scrape together the money to pay my fee. It was just such an interesting cross section of people. I felt like there was fiction in that really unique relationship that happens when you are so honored to go into someone's home and interact with them on their home turf and kind of become, you know, privy to everything that goes into the magic of our relationship with our dogs. So that was the key, was, you know, hating the how-to and loving the fiction and realizing that this career, there's a lot of interest in it.
For sure. And storytelling, like I love the idea and the process of storytelling. It's so human and I feel like it really joins us all together, not to be like one of those woo-woo type, but it's such a human way, you know,
it's a great way of explaining something too. Like, everyone learns in a different way. And for some people, maybe hearing a story is a way to conceptualize something that otherwise might not make sense to them.
Yeah. And that brings us actually very nicely into the next question, because you always have an animal storyline woven through the book and the main character always has some kind of important animals in their life as well. And I love your books and they often touch on issues that are actually quite important. For example, you've got some pit bull advocacy in Life on the Leash, and in Dog Friendly, this one, the main character is a vet who's kind of exhausted, and we see some of those veterinary issues in there as well. So to what extent do you like to explore real life issues through your fiction?
That's like the core of it. I think at first glance, people are like, oh, it's a cute, fun, you know, Hallmark dog story. And the cute and fun is definitely there, but I always try and weave in something, whether it's the pit bull advocacy or positive reinforcement training or foster, rescue, adopt. Like, there's always a deeper theme. And I feel like Dog Friendly in particular, addressing veterinary compassion fatigue in a way that readers can understand and maybe reflect a little how we accidentally might put stresses on our veterinarians. You know, that was a huge goal for me. And I can't tell you how many people have said, like, I never knew this was a thing. Like, I never knew the suicide rate and veterinarians was so high. And, you know, it's more than just euthanasia. There's so many aspects that go into creating this overwhelming you know, fatigue that they face. So really long answer to just stress that it's not like I want to preach, but I definitely always take the opportunity to weave a little education in with the, you know, Nantucket Beach Read. Yay.
That's a perfect segue into my question. This is something that I'm very curious about. And I'm curious about like the specifics in your brain when you're actually doing this. So you're both a dog trainer. So you have a ton of dog trainer skills and pedagogy, you know, like teaching people skills. So when you're writing, I'm assuming you're wearing both this education and entertainment hat. And entertaining is important or people aren't going to read the book, you know? And also, I think educating humans is very important, you know, or entertaining is very important. Like people need breaks, you know? So how, when you're writing fiction, how do you make sure you don't veer? Because you don't, you know, like, how do you make sure you don't veer into something that's kind of patronizing or, you know, that, so you're not like proselytizing, you know, on the page? How do you make sure you're not doing that? Because whenever I imagine writing fiction, I can't imagine doing it without starting to be like the teacher in Charlie Brown. Yeah. So how do you do that? Do you pull it off? Do you have to like rewrite stuff all the time or?
I hope I pull it off. I mean, that's the hope.
You do.
It's not something that's conscious for me. I think part of it is making sure that the animals that appear, that I'm true to that animal and that it's not just a prop. That's hugely important to me because a lot of times, you know, there's a dog in the story and it's just to be this cute little throwaway jokes. And I make sure that, I mean, just by the nature of what these characters do for a living, dogs are such a part of their lives, but you see the reality. Like you see, I got to leave happy hour early because I have to let my dog out, or I stepped in vomit in the middle of the night. Like the reality of living with a dog, and hopefully the lessons are woven in seamlessly in a way that, you know, people can take something from it, but they don't feel like they're being preached to.
Nice. I find myself, if I'm reading and someone says something like, I grabbed my treats and my harness and walked my dog, I'm like, that's where the bar is set, it seems.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say, actually, because sometimes if I see that a book has a dog in it, I am not certain I want to read it because I don't know if it's actually going to upset me or annoy me or make me angry. And I think it's really important to say that for all of your books, I know that I can go into them and I'm going to be very happy with what's in there. And I'm going to love the dog story. And I don't have to have any of those nerves or concerns about, you know, what's going to happen. I know I'm in good hands with you. So I think that's really nice.
Thank you. And yes, this is the perfect place to add that the dog never dies in my book. That's such a common question. Happily ever afters for both ends of the leash, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. There's a website actually for movies called something.
Oh, like, I check it. Trust me. Like we're starting a movie and I see a dog. I'm like, I'm not going to watch. Let me check the website.
Yeah.
Too much sadness in life. We don't need that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So in Dog Friendly, the main character is a veterinarian. How did you go about researching the life of a veterinarian for this book?
It was hugely important for me to accurately represent what they go through. So I started off just creeping basically on websites that are specifically for the veterinary community. Luckily, they're public. And if you dig enough, you can find them. And there were lots of first person accounts of what they go through. There's a Instagram page called, I think it's called Vet Confessionals. I always get it wrong, but it's a place where veterinarians can confess their deepest, darkest secrets and traumas to an audience that's not judgmental. Got lots of great insights from there. And then once I felt like I had a baseline where I knew enough that I didn't know everything, I reached out to veterinarians. I have veterinarian friends. And then I had two very specific, really wonderful veterinarians who contributed. You know, I asked all my big questions of them. And then I spoke with therapists and just, you know, people that are on the other end that see the toll that this profession takes on them and offer them support just so I could, you know, once, is it a spoiler? Once my character decides that she needs some direction and help, that I was taking her in the right direction.
Sympathetic howling in the background.
They're feeling it for the vets.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny that Is there a siren going on? Like, what's triggering it?
I'm not sure. There's not a siren. No, we live quite rurally.
It's funny because
I'll mute myself so we can continue to talk.
An hour and a half ago, my dog, who's dealing with some eye issues, she's got her cone on. She let out a howl like that out of nowhere. And usually it is in response to a siren. I'm like, what are the ancestors telling her right now? And she's having a conversation. But anyway, to address the one of the reviews that I got, I don't look at reviews. I don't make a habit of looking at reviews, but somehow it came in front of me. And someone said, you know, I really don't believe that it's this bad for veterinarians. And, you know, people coming back from war, sure, they're going to have PTSD, but veterinarians. And I was so frustrated because what more evidence do they need? I mean, it's literally there outlined on the page. These are the reasons why. These are the statistics. And it's so frustrating that people still can't wrap their head around the fact that being a veterinarian isn't just playing with kittens and dogs all day, you know? But they say the same thing about dog trainers, right?
Yeah. And I know people think that veterinarians, I see this as like a thing, you know, where people are frustrated at how much they're spending, but maybe less so in the States where.
No, that's a thing.
Okay. Yeah. And I just feel like, oh God, come on, man. I mean, it's not like they're raking in millions, you know?
Yeah. That's one of the,
and I think that's got to be hard for vets too.
That there are trigger things that are said to them. And that's one of them. Like one of the cruelest things that people say is you're just in this for the money, not realizing the hundreds of thousands of dollars they've paid to get their education and the debt that they've racked up and the hours that they work. So
one of the things that I tell my dog training clients, if they're going to talk to their vet, if we're doing like a medical rule out, for example, is to just be really upfront with their vets and say, I can pay, you know, like I'm willing to pay what it takes to get this answered. Cause I feel like that's, and maybe that's a rural thing where I'm working. People are really, our vets are often like, well, I'm going to try and save you money. So we'll go. And I'm just like, you know what? You can just go ahead and recommend something that's expensive and we'll see if it, you know, we'll see if I can, you know. So I do sort of encourage people to be upfront with their vet that they are willing to spend, because I feel like vets are put in this position where they're trying to save their clients money by reducing their own value and services. Oh,
yeah. It's heartbreaking. But let's make a point to mention that Dog Friendly does have a happily ever after, despite the challenging themes that are addressed. It is a beach read. It's set in Nantucket. There's hijinks and romance and kissing and all sorts of stuff and fostering. So yeah, don't be frightened by the heavy conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think it's very safe for veterinarians who want a holiday romance. They can dig into this book and they're going to love it, I think.
I've gotten some feedback from veterinarians and vet techs that brought me to tears, you know, just saying like, thank you for telling our story. Thank you for helping to educate the public. So I've gotten the vet seal of approval, which means the world to me.
Great. I know you've mentioned a couple of things that I hadn't even considered before. So it's very cool to hear about writing about dogs, you know, considering that the dog isn't just sort of a prop, you know, that they're actually a creature, an organism. But do you have any other tips that you'd be interested in sharing with? Like, we've got a lot of people who love writing and love reading. So any tips about writing about dogs?
Yeah, I mean, the prop thing, make sure that if you're going to include a dog, it is an active character and participant in the story. Boy, if you don't want to piss people off, make sure that you're getting your breed types correct. I have heard about other, you know, other dogs and stories where people are like, oh my God, a corgi would never do that. Or a husky you'd never get a husky to do that. I mean, okay, we could get into the bigger conversation of breed stereotypes here, but try to understand the dog that you're writing about. That's important. Yeah. And I guess just be as realistic as possible about what our dogs are capable of. You know, the to quote Gene, you know, the Lassie myth, these are creatures that have their own agendas. So let's honor that as well.
Yeah.
I think you could fit so much good advice under just honor dogs for what they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In all of life, not just writing about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have so many different dogs and animals in your books. Are any of them based on real life dogs or sheep or other animals that you happen to have known?
There is no specific one-to-one correlation. It's more a mix of the dogs that I've come in contact with through fostering and obviously client dogs over the years. There is one dog that got a name check. My foster dog, Spencer. I named the dog in Lost Found in Forever after Spencer, but it's not Spencer. And then the dog in Dog Friendly, Hudson, his coloring is like our last foster dog, Calvin. So there are references to dogs. And then in Unleashed Holiday, we have a boxer, a white boxer, and a Boston Terrier. And I will admit that at one point I had a Boston Terrier and a boxer, but it was a brindle. The boxer in Unleashed Holiday is deaf. So that presents an interesting series of challenges for both the pet parent and the trainer working with him. So there are echoes. And then another important distinction in Unleashed Holiday, the sibling relationship, it's not between these two, but the Boston Terrier and the resident dog is strained. And I wanted to highlight the fact that not every sibling relationship is going to be this, we're best friends and we love to hang out. There are a lot of households where we manage and it's fine, but it's not like happily ever after besties. And I wanted to kind of give voice to that because it's not something that we acknowledge as much. And I have two dogs myself, two seniors that tolerate each other beautifully. If you look at my Instagram, you'll see pictures of them curled up, but it's more like Stockholm syndrome because the white dog just wants a warm body to nestle against and the black dog permits it. But yeah, there are a lot of scenarios where it's not this beautiful, perfect, best friends forever scenario. And I wanted to illustrate that type of relationship as well.
Awesome.
So your next book is coming out in September and it's called Unleashed Holiday. So can you please just tell us about that book?
Okay, I'm going to caveat this by saying this is the first time I've done it out loud. So it's going to be sloppy. Okay, so Unleashed Holiday takes us from September all the way through Christmas. So we get all of our fall holidays, Halloween and Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And it's about a dog trainer who runs into quite literally an enemy from her past, who has this deaf white boxer, and the boxer accidentally injures her. And these two, you know, warring factions decide, let's bury the hatchet for a bit and kind of help each other. I'll help you train your unruly white boxer. I'm not used to doing it yet. He's a personal trainer. And he said, I'll help you rehab your injury. So we'll just do three for three and help each other. And then obviously, you know, two good looking people who don't like each other. There's an enemies to lovers undercurrent. And yeah, it's can they melt the frost between them and find a happily ever after? I got to practice that, baby.
It sounds wonderful.
Well, delighted you were here for your first journey.
Yes, yes. My maiden voyage. My elevator pitch needs work.
No, not at all. It sounds fantastic. And we're very lucky because you're going to give away an advance reader copy to one of the listeners of this podcast or watchers of this video. And so the way to enter that will be on the Companion Animal Psychology Facebook page. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes for this. So you can just click that or you'll be able to go straight to the Facebook page and look for the competition there. And you can enter it on the Facebook page and we'll be giving away one copy of that. So one lucky person is going to get to read that. So that's very, very exciting indeed. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. And can I qualify that it's one US reader?
Yes, yes. So someone in the US. This will be for someone in the US. Some lucky American reader will get to read this ahead of time, which is very, very exciting. Good. Thank you. So now we're going to move on to the books section of the show. And we're each of us going to say something about what we're reading right now. I'm going to start with a book club book, though. Which we have literally only just started. So I can just tell you about it. We're actually reading Poppy in the Wild by Teresa J. Ryan. I've only just started it. And by the time this show goes out, this is the trouble with doing the book club books. We will have finished talking about it in the book club. But if you want to join the book club and read future books with us, it's a Facebook group. And the way to join is to sign up to my email list. Anyway, Poppy in the Wild is about Poppy, who is a beagle who's being fostered and meets a potential adopter and then goes missing in the wilderness. I think it's in like a 1500 acre park. So in this massive, massive space. And the book is about the search to find Poppy and it has a happy ending. So we know that going in, which is always good to know. But obviously it's this heart-stopping story of how do you find a dog in this wilderness? And also I think it's just lovely because of all the people who go to help. So it takes quite a long time to find Poppy. So it's also about all the different people who join in to help help to find this lost dog and to bring her home. And she's quite a scared dog. So, yeah, so that's going to be a really good read. So, Victoria, what are you reading right now?
I am reading The Book of Silver Linings, which comes out on August 15th. So that's next Tuesday, I believe. Well, in current time. And it's a wonderful book that deals with a young woman who is engaged to be married, but is facing some hesitation, some doubts, we should say, about her impending nuptials. And she does some deep dives and research about some of the things that she's concerned about. And that's the top line story. And then beneath it, she's a volunteer at an animal shelter. So there's lots of, fostering and adventures with a particular growly dog that she tries to reach. So yeah, it's great. And I'm going to be interviewing the author Nan Fisher on my Instagram page probably in September. So yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. It's great.
Fantastic. That sounds excellent. Thank you. And Christy, what are you reading right now?
Okay, I'm going to say two. So the first one, let me just bring it up on my phone, if I might. Sorry, I should have had this ready. So in preparation for this interview, I was listening to Easy Dead.
By a certain Victoria Shade.
Yay!
Thank you.
And then for my more cerebral choice, I just got this book cracked. So it's called Defending the Arctic Refuge, and it's by Finis Dunaway. It's a professor in, I think, a Canadian university. Sorry, I don't have that on the tip of my tongue. But it's about sort of like a meta story. So it's about a series of events that involved a sort of a photography presentation that some advocates for the 1002 land, so the Arctic National Refuge, where the porcupine caribou herd has their calving grounds. And it's sort of like it continually sort of comes under assault by petroleum development. But it's a really important area for protecting the porcupine caribou herd, which is a hugely important source of food, but also it has a lot of spiritual importance to the Gwich'in First Nation, whom I work for. So this is sort of a meta story. It's a story about a bunch of other stories. And it's a story about, you know, how Indigenous people can really be seen as leaders and should be taken as leaders when it comes to the protection of their lands. It's a fascinating story and it's beautifully written and it's very cool. So I'm going to dive into this. I've just started it.
Sounds cool. Fascinating.
That sounds really interesting. And I it's a while since I read Who Rescued Who, but I remember I absolutely loved it. So that's good. Yeah. And so I have two as well, because I already said I'm halfway through Dog Friendly and I've had it a while, but I had an appointment coming up where I was going to have to wait for a long time and I knew I was going to need a good book for that. So I saved it for that. So I was reading it through that and I'm really enjoying it. And I think we've said a bit about it already. So I don't want to give anything away, but I love the main character and I think it's just beautifully set. I've never been to Nantucket. I'm really enjoying reading about the place. So it's just a really fun read. So thank you for that, Victoria. And the other book that I've been reading is A First Guide to Dogs, Understanding Your Very Best Friend, which is by Dr. John Bradshaw, and it's illustrated by Claire Elsom. And so I think most people have probably heard of Dr. John Bradshaw for the wonderful books that he's written about both dogs and cats, and the science that he's put into them and the way that he's popularized both canine science and feline science in really interesting ways. So this is a very accessible book for young adult readers probably middle grade, actually. I think middle grade. And it's got amazing illustrations in it. So I don't know if you can see there's an illustration about what different tail positions mean. And it basically takes you through the life of Rusty the Terrier and what he does in his day. And so that's the story element. It's a really nice story, but it's also packed with really good information about dogs and understanding dogs. And it's got these gorgeous illustrations. And there's another example of recognizing when dogs are fearful or afraid. So I think it's a really great guide for for kids to look at and understand, learn more about their dogs. And it's just got a really nice story through of what Rusty is doing in his day. So I've really enjoyed that. So that's great. So thank you, Victoria, for joining us today, telling us about your books and about what you're reading. Where can people go if they want to find out more about you?
So I kind of live on Instagram, and that's Victoria_Shade. I'm dipping my toe in TikTok, embarrassing myself over there. That's Victoria Shade. And then Facebook is Victoria Shade Author. So those are the primaries.
Fantastic. Thank you. And of course, all of your books are available from all good bookstores. And as I mentioned, we have an advanced reader copy of Unleashed Holiday to give away. So head on over to the Companion Animal Psychology Facebook page. And if you're in the US, you can enter to win an advanced reader copy of that and get to read it. So that's fantastic. And as well, if you enjoy the show, please make sure to hit the like or the subscribe button to make sure that you see future episodes. Thanks so much for joining us today, Victoria.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast. Let's keep going.
Yes. And thank you for listening or watching, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Positive Posting Conversation. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to the show and write us a review via your podcast app. For the show notes, visit companionanimalpsychology.com. This show was produced by Zazie Todd. The music is Melody from Paris by Studio Labousse. See you next time.